Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are so delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear from you, so send us an email with your questions or your comments to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. And you can also listen to our show as a podcast on EWTN, Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio/podcast, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Now today is the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, where we commemorate the profound sorrows Our Lady experienced as consequence of God's plan of salvation. She was told by Simeon, when Christ was just a baby, that a sword would pierce her soul, and as a result of her son's mission. With all of the sorrows Mary suffered, especially witnessing the crucifixion of Jesus, she stood with such silent strength, bearing these sufferings. She is a great refuge to all of those who suffer and reveals to us a path of love and hope and compassion. So our question for today's show is this: how has Our Lady of Sorrows taught you compassion and hope through suffering? And I think in that opening, which was so beautiful, which was how she did that silently and as she suffered. And as we also want to express our condolences to Erica Kirk and the Kirk family, his Charlie's parents, Kirk, and his children, and all those that worked with him and loved him so, and what a witness he was in our nation for everything that is good and true and beautiful, and especially for truth. And we pray for the repose of Charlie Kirk's soul.
It was a tough week last week.
It was.
And maybe every day is tough for some of our viewers out there. We dealt with 9/11, the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Father John Paul's father passed away. We were at a viewing before a funeral today. And so, as Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. You'll have suffering and sorrow. But those who sow in tears, like Our Lady sowed in tears, those who sow in tears, you will have shouts of joy. You will be consoled. And the Blessed Virgin Mary said, let it be done to me according to your word. Let the sword pierce my heart for the love of my son. And so hopefully we're doing that for other people, and it's being done for us. And we should be of good cheer because Christ has overcome this world. He's overcome the flesh. He's overcome death. He's come to defeat the works of the devil. So we want to talk more about this mystery, about all things working for good for those who love God and who are seeking to fit into his purpose and plan. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our question for today's show is, how has Our Lady of Sorrows taught you compassion and hope through suffering? You know, and the psalmist tells us the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. And that's from Psalm 34, verse 18. And you know there are times in your life, whether it's death or an illness, or a suffering wayward child, or maybe a spouse, whatever illness, afflictions comes your way, your heart gets heavy, and sometimes it feels crushed. And you know that even our Blessed Mother, when she was at the foot of the cross and just looking and gazing upon her son and bearing all of that grief, she kept her eyes on Jesus. You know, as a mother, I would think, you know, you want to turn around and go, what are you people doing? This is my son. He's done nothing wrong. And you want to yell and you want justice. and she was silent. But she wept, and she kept her eyes on him. And as he suffered, so she suffered. Mm. And as a mother, and I think some of the beautiful lessons that our Blessed Mother has taught me, is we have to suffer with our children, with our loved ones, with our co-workers, with God's heart for the situation, for God's justice and peace and hope and healing and love to manifest and to bring a greater good out of all of this. I mean, just especially last week with 24 years to 9/11 and then the death of Charlie Kirk. I mean, your spirit was getting crushed and it was like, Lord, what? I mean, if your heart's connected to God, you know, you're picking up loss and sorrow and agony and misery. And it hurts. It hurts just to be a human to process it. For me, and being in the Word and being a woman of prayer, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. We have to ask the Blessed Mother to come close to us, to pray for us, to help us, to pray for all the people that you love that are hurting. When you look at beautiful Erica Kirk and her suffering and her sorrow and the children and their parents. And I mean, it's a heavy heart.
Well, we went to a viewing today of a dear friend who we've known for 45 years, and she's passed away. She's a mother and grandmother and a great-grandmother, and just led a, you know, overall a beautiful life. And there's all these grandkids that are there and so on. So we went there and got to see her. And, you know, they knew she had a long life, and they knew that they thought they might lose her 2 years ago and so on. But yet the sadness on those grandchildren, mm-hmm. you know, it's never enough. So we can say, oh, well, she lived to the ripe old age of whatever it is. But, you know, when you love somebody mm-hmm. and they're irreplaceable, so it's not even like an attack, a tragedy, something happened, you know, like it's a fallen world and we age and we die. But their sadness, you know?
Sure.
And that we want that place. It's assigned to us. There's more than this. Mm-hmm. We want the place where there's no more weeping and sorrow and crying is no more, but there's life everlasting. And it's not just a sick psychiatric kind of thinking or something. Why is that in every heart upon the face of the earth just about? You know, that you want that. It's because it's true. Mm. These are clues that what's mm-hmm. happening here is not God's ultimate plan. Mm-hmm. But this is the proving ground for how we live and that we must persevere. Father, let this cup pass from me. I can't believe this cup is happening to me. It's happening to my child? You know, why? And it's just like, the cup will pass when you drink it down. Mm. Lord, isn't there another way? And sometimes there's another way. You get healed or something happens and it's just great. But it's inevitable unless the Lord's going to come back and we're going to be caught with him in the air. I can go for that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you just got to drink it down to mm-hmm. the dregs. And that's what Jesus did. He said, let this cup pass from me. Father, why have you forsaken me? But he drank the cup to the end and he wins the victory. That he rises again from the dead, and we rise together, you know, in him. This is our hope. This is our faith. There's a quote here from John Paul II regarding Our Lady of Sorrows. The Virgin, with her mother's grief, participated in a quite particular way in the passion of Jesus, cooperating deeply with the salvation of mankind. Like Mary, each of us can and must unite with the suffering Jesus in order to become, with his own pain, an active part in the redemption of the world, which he effected in the Paschal Mystery, St. John Paul II.
And you know, we have to suffer for the sake of souls sometimes, for people's salvation. You know, we had a great show last week and you know, we had Kevin Wells on and he was talking about what he had to suffer to
his wife was
battling alcoholism. And, you know, we have to pick up our crosses. We're all given crosses and it might be our marriage. It might be with our children. It might be with our grandchildren. It might be an illness, an affliction, a love, me- a, a loved one in your family. And we have to be willing as Christians, as people who can be a part of hope in bearing that sorrow in that way and participating with God.
Yeah.
Here's a beautiful comment. It said, Mother Mary's bearing of sorrow is a great source of strength in my times of pain and difficulty. And I am encouraged to be strong and firm in my faith in God anytime I face problems, especially sickness, as I am homebound. And this is from Annie on Facebook. And you know, and you look at the sufferings in the world and all the people, you know, who they ring the bell at 9/11 and they're remembering their loved ones and their sorrows and their agonies and what they went through. And you see Erica Kirk and just all the people in the media who have been affected by Charlie's witness. Right. Our grandchildren, because they were following him. He impacted an age and a stage of, and he had a place. Yeah. And you and I have a place. And you might think, oh no, God can't use me. Oh yes, he can. He might need you to stand in the gap to participate, as our Blessed Mother did, in the sorrows of another for their salvation, so that they too would be redeemed.
You know, you're mentioning Charlie Kirk, who sought to lead a good life and speak the truth, and the tragedy. He didn't just die, he was assassinated, he was killed. But yet the fruit that's coming up. And then we're speaking about our friend Sonia, who's passed away and lived much longer and died of natural, you know, causes, and the sadness of the children and grandchildren. You know, how long are you going to live? You can't live forever. But they say, like, it's not enough with her. And, you know, that principle, unless the grain of wheat dies and goes into the ground, and I'm thinking about this especially about the grandchildren, it remains alone. But when it goes into the ground, it disseminates itself. And that grandmother's life, the mother's life, it was just a good life versus a martyrdom of sorts, a martyr of truth in Charlie Kirk, it's sudden death, being killed. You know, Justin Martyr said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. So we know more are going to be raised up, but also the natural death is such a thing as natural death and just dying and leading a good life. And it hurts when you, and it's wonderful, because we have, you know, more of an assurance she's with the Lord. We believe she's going to have that. We pray for her soul. But this principle of death giving life, of sorrow giving joy, of conquering. And this is why our Catholic faith is so great, because we don't deny sorrows and suffering and tragedy and injustice and, you know,
evil.
Why is this going on? Or, you know, what's happening? Why do I have to die? Like, we accept all of that. But it does not have the last word. Jesus Christ has the last word. The resurrection has the last word. And those who unite themselves to him, you know, these things are written. These things are written. The scriptural teaching and the sacred tradition of the church. These things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. And the life is in the Son. He who has the Son has eternal life. But he who does not have the Son or rejects the Son, the wrath of God can rest upon you. There is a heaven. There is a hell.
Yes.
And there is purgation. Thank God for that. But there's only two destinations, and it's heaven and it's hell. And salvation is in the name and in the work of Jesus Christ and his grace and his mercy. You might be in the process of dying right now. God have mercy. Let Jesus be the last word that's upon your lips. And the Blessed Virgin Mary, pray for me. Pray for me now and at the hour of my death, and seek the Lord in whom that grace is found, that you might walk through this dark time in your life or in your child's life or whatever's going on, and wars and rumors of wars and all sorts of things and threats. But let us cling to the old rugged cross.
In the exaltation of the cross, which was yesterday.
So the exaltation of the cross, and then we have Our Lady of Sorrows, who's at the foot of the cross, gazing upon her Son, hearing him, and not intervening in the wrong way, but saying, I said to the angel of the Lord when he appeared to me, let everything be done according to the word of the Lord. I am the handmaiden. I'm the servant of the Lord. Easier said than done. She did it.
Mary,
help us to do it.
Right. And ways that we can imitate her in our own sorrows and sufferings. And I don't know where you are in your relationship with the Blessed Mother, but she's very real and she's very alive. And I encourage you to be a student of her, of all of her virtues, of all of her ways, of her love and of her patience and her obedience and her hope and her faith. Those are all things we need. There was no other human being like her. And so we want to model her. We want to say, how do I do it? How does a parent bury a child? Watch the Blessed Mother. You think that would be the greatest thing that a human being, that a parent could suffer? Probably so. But she taught us, follow me, and I'm going to lead you to Jesus. And you're going to get through the dark night of your soul. And there'll be peace for you in the midst of the storm. And the tsunami that has overtaken you with grief and misery and sorrow and agony, he's going to lift you up. There are so many things in life that just go into the mystery box. I can't understand it. My answer is, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know all things, but God knows all things. And in him alone do I trust. And I encourage you this day to cry out to Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You have the greatest prayer partner in heaven with our Blessed Mother. Say, Mother, come up alongside of me and pray for me. I need faith. I need hope. I need love. I need peace. And she'll come up alongside of you and aid you and assist you, I promise. And so today, on this beautiful memorial that we celebrate, Our Lady of Sorrows, there's none like our Blessed Mother who can relate to your sorrows and your sufferings like she.
May the comfort that comforted Mary be upon you at this point and juncture in your life. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Well, today we're celebrating the memorial of Our Lady of Sorrows. And in case you didn't know the seven sorrows, here they are: the prophecy of Simeon, the flight into Egypt, the loss of the child of Jesus in the temple, Mary meeting Jesus as he carried his cross, the crucifixion, Mary receiving the body of Jesus from the cross, and Jesus's body being placed in the tomb. And EWTN, you could go out to their website, EWTN.com, and it has Our Lady of Sorrows. It's a beautiful...
EWTN.com/Our Lady of Sorrows.
Yeah, beautiful resource for you. And then also EWTN, as Veronica shared so beautifully on a religious catalog, there's a rosary bracelet of seven sorrows that you could get at EWTNRC.com, and I'm wearing mine today. And it's beautiful. It just kind of connects you. It's like you could look and meditate upon one of the beautiful sorrows and be united with our Blessed Mother.
You know, I remember when I returned back to the Catholic Church, not that you could ever really leave it, but I returned back and I was dealing with somebody who was possibly going to become like Supreme Court Justice of, you know, here in Alabama. And he knew I had come back, and he said, he brought a picture to me of Mary with all the swords in her. Mm. And like, he's an evangelical guy, but he's just like, he said, do you know what this is about? Can you explain this to me? Like, why? He wasn't like upset, what's going on? And I couldn't. Mm-hmm. But what you're saying again, you just named those swords, usually seven, that are moving in her heart, the prophecy of Simeon, the flight into Egypt, because they were gonna kill the baby Jesus. You know, Joseph became aware of this in a dream. The loss of the child for 3 days, that's one that's really, it's kind of like, well, I guess they didn't think it was their fault. He just stayed behind and said, but you know, like you lose a child or you lose a kid in the store for
that's
a couple of minutes.
That's panic, that's fear.
That's a sword, especially when he's human and divine. Okay? Mm-hmm. You don't want to lose that guy. Mary meets Jesus on the way to Calvary. You know, he's walking, he's being tortured, he's going. And we walk through those tortures. I mean, really, these things are all things that we do too. We see loved ones, we're with them on their way to their death.
Yes.
You know, we're the presence with them, like Mary was the presence with Jesus. the crucifixion and the death of Jesus, to walk through the shadow of death with them till they can come out into the light on the other side. But all you're seeing is darkness. You got to walk through it. The body of Jesus was taken from the cross. So what happens to the body of our loved ones when they die? Where are they going? What's going to happen? How do we honor their bodies? That's so important in this day and age. You know, are we honoring the bodies of our loved ones? Mm-hmm. And you really need to understand the teaching of the church in terms of interment of our loved ones and ashes being interred in a place. And this is not like condemnation for those that are spreading ashes all over the place, but it's not acceptable in the church.
Right.
Because you have to reverence the body and deposit this body in a place where you can visit and be there. The body of Jesus was taken down from the cross, the burial of Jesus. So these are just all such, you know, powerful, powerful truths. And I know in my own life, in losing my mother at a very early age, the number of women that came into my life that were just holy women and with me, and one in particular that would take that pain, that sorrow in my heart, and would reinterpret it or interpret it. Like, you're so sad, you've lost your mother, and this is a terrible thing that's happened to you. But here's what's going to come of this, Jimmy. You're going to be sensitive. You're going to be compassionate. You're going to be able to understand people like she, all this stuff. When I was a kid growing up, she said, these are the graces and the gifts that are going to come out of your mother's death for you. And so not only do we have to be able to walk through something, but we want to comfort those that are going through sorrow. We need faith for our children and our grandchildren and other people. That doesn't belittle the horrors that take place in this life or just what takes place because of the fall. Mm. And we're broken and the whole system is broken. But again, those who sow in tears, and especially who are sowing into others, you will reap with shouts of joy. Life, life, life. The resurrection has the last word, and glory everlasting. Our souls and our spirits reunited in a glorified body, even like Jesus Christ. Oh, fill us with faith in the great things that are to come. God bless you and all of your loved ones. And be sure to join us Wednesday when we have practicing naturopathic physician and psychotherapist Dr. Anna Norden to speak with us about the reality of post-abortion syndrome and the steps to heal from it. Mm-hmm. So God bless you and all of your loved ones. Keep it on EWTN. Bye now.